We've reached the dramatic season finale of our summer series. We've called it Back to the Truth, and we've spent the last 7 weeks, this is week eight, addressing some common misconceptions about some very foundational and fundamental topics, themes in the Christian faith, things that we pick up along the way. If you've been in church for any length of time, there's just stuff that we catch and that just kind of sticks in there in our brains that may or may not be true, that may or may not be beneficial. And so what we wanted to do this summer, what we've done this summer, is just take one subject every week that is a common kind of misconception and misinterpretation that is not serving us well, and we've just went after it and decided to bring our hearts and our beliefs back to what is true, the truth. And so today, I want to have a conversation about something. I saved this one for last for a reason. I want this conversation to actually continue on moving forward in a variety of different ways, but I think it's a good conversation to have. I want to talk about experiencing God. You know, it's a broad term, but I'll put it a different way as well. Alternative title, if you're doing notes, feeling God, to feel Him. There are a lot of different church backgrounds represented in this room. I've talked to a lot of you guys, and it always astounds me that the different kind of faith types and denominations and styles that all of you have come from to meet here at whatever this is. I don't really have an answer for what style are you? I don't know. It's fun, but we're a different kind of expression. We're a different, probably a different from what you grew up in and were experienced to. And so, but I had two very, very different church backgrounds, starting with a church here in Chattanooga. My family was part of a denomination that I will not, it will remain nameless. I will not name the denomination, but I will say this. There was no instruments to be found in the whole building. So if that gives you a clue. The only instrument they had was the pitch pipe. And that was it. And then we went rockapella. And so it was a very unique church setting. And what I heard, and I was young, but what I heard and what was presented was that experiencing God, having an encounter with God, was associated with striving to be a good and obedient and successful Christian. There's an old song, Trust and Obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but trust and obey. So feeling God, that expression, feelings in general, wasn't really the topic of conversation there. That didn't come into play. We weren't as concerned about your feelings because that just seemed human and fleshy and not really the point. And so feeling God wasn't really a conversation. In that setting, the focus was more understanding God, understanding His word, His will, and His ways. And so the goal had more to do with this idea of closeness, being close to God, Christ-likeness, being an example, a representative of God. And so walking close to Him meant emulating and reflecting Him as accurately as possible. And so the better Christian you are, the more successful you are, the closer you are to Jesus. And if you mess up, if you're not really minding your P's and your Q's, if you're not really keeping up with your devotional life, if you're not attending regularly, if you're not giving regularly, then there's some distance there. Then you'll feel it, and so that would be a lack of closeness, therefore you're not experiencing God the way you should. Then, around 11, 12 years old, my family moved. We moved from that tradition, and we went as far to the end of the pendulum as humanly possible without getting into rattlesnakes. I'm kidding. So we went to a church in North Carolina And at the time, now it evolved over time, it changed, but at the time, extremely, and here's a word that you may or may not have heard. If you're church, you've definitely heard this one. Charismatic. Anyone? Charismatic? Oh, I love that word. There was a magazine called Charisma Magazine, and it was for the charismatics to read about themselves. And so it was a much more charismatic, non-denominational church. So it was extremely expressive. There was a lot of movement involved. And so whereas the church I came from, everyone just kind of... And so when I remember when they brought in like drums and stuff, I'm like, it's like contraband. I'm like, is this cool? Are we going to get busted here? I mean, is this all right? Is everybody cool with this? And so in that environment, it was all about the feelings. That was suddenly the priority was it was all about the feelings, the emotions, encounters, and environment. Whereas before is all about his word, his will, and his ways. Now is about emotions and encounters and environment. Feeling God was the greatest priority there was. And we associated feeling God with the goosebumps. That's how you knew the Holy Spirit was moving. The little hairs on your arms stood up. You're like, oh, there he is. There's the move. And so we would ultimately chase that feeling. That became the hunt. That's the fox that we're going after. That's the hunt. So we're chasing the feeling, the mountaintop experience, the goosies. And so the truth is, what was presented to us, you could only really experience that, feel that, know that, have those moments of feeling God, the goosebumps, kind of feeling the Holy Spirit moving in church-sanctioned events. The church had the market cornered on feeling God. So the lighting was very important, the music, maybe a little fog hog over here, puffing out smoke. It was just very environmental it's pretty psychological if you really think about it, where it's just like you get lulled into this trance of like, okay, I feel this, feeling it. And so church services, worship services, prayer times, church conferences, these are the places where you met with God. And it was so specific that people would bounce. They'd say, I'm not going to that church anymore because I don't feel God there anymore. So basically they got used to it. The feelings wore off. And then they went somewhere else to get the new euphoria, the new feeling, the new hit of dopamine. They just, whatever they could feel. They're chasing the feeling. Often, people would ask us at our church, so you're going to change the lighting, you're going to change the environment. I want to feel it. And like, oh, we don't have, it's like 106 windows here. What do you want us to do? We can flick the lights on and off if you want to do that. Today, I wanted to clear up two misconceptions that I mentioned in both of these two extremes. And then we're going to get to a helpful, genuine, real, beneficial place. Number one, experiencing God is not something reserved for the people who have their acts together. You don't have to climb a ladder of morality and togetherness and performance in order to experience God. That's number one. You don't have to be rich to be my girl. You don't have to be cool to rule my world. Okay, I'm quoting Prince now. But you can quote Prince in church and still experience God, believe it or not. The other thing I wanted to bring up is this. Specific church activities and church-sanctioned events have not cornered the market on feeling God. You can't, church is not the only place you feel encounter God. I'll kind of give more specific, description to both of these things, but I want to take you to Psalm 34, verse 18. We got nothing but Psalms today. I've got three of them and that's all we got. Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Who feels close to God? Who experiences him personally and in a close, personal way? Well, according to this psalm, the brokenhearted, those whose spirits are crushed. There's a story of a woman who barges into a Pharisee's house because she finds out Jesus is there eating lunch, and she barges in and she lunges at Jesus and begins to weep at his feet. And she's having this spiritual experience, this closeness to Jesus. And she is a woman with a very sketchy reputation, to the point where the guffaw of all the other attendees of this lunch, they're just like, they're just completely, deeply offended. And they turn to Jesus and like, do you know who's touching you right now? Ow. And Jesus uses her as an example of what they should be doing, as opposed to using them as an example of what she should be doing. There's a story of a ceremonially unclean woman who is illegally fighting through a crowd of strangers just to get close to Jesus because she's desperate. Jesus stops everything, shuts the whole thing down, and spends time with her. And she has an encounter, an experience with God. There is a familiar story, we've all heard it, of that Jesus tells about a prodigal son. His older brother is doing everything right. He is the paragon of virtue that we're all taught to be like, to emulate, to copy. And the story ends with him far from the father, but this just absolute vagabond, ruffian, just hooligan. The story ends with him in the father's arm with a party being thrown for him. Our encounter with God, our experience with God, feeling God, has nothing to do with our performance. In fact, I would say the opposite is true. Sometimes our performance gets in the way. We're so busy being employees of God Enterprises that we miss the reality of being close and feeling who God is. Jesus is close to the brokenhearted. He's ever present in your time of need. He's with you through the ups and the downs, the good and the bad. He is with you, closer than a brother. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He has got you. Here's a thought. God is omnipresent. I think we can all buy that. We've heard it, and that just means he's everywhere. Everywhere at once, he's omnipresent. So, if God is everywhere, God can be experienced and felt anywhere. If God is everywhere, God can be experienced and felt anywhere. Not just in church events, not just in church settings, everywhere. C.S. Lewis, who is a hero of mine, said this: we may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. You can't dodge him. You can't duck him. You can't outrun him. You can't outpace him. He is with you. He is always with you. Sundays together here are sacred to me. This is my favorite day. You're my favorite people. This is my favorite couple hours. I love Sundays. They're sacred to me. But they're not the place, the one place where you can feel and experience God. This is the one place where we're reminded and encouraged and inspired to experience and feel God everywhere else. This is not the place, the one place that where you can actually commune with God. This is the place where you can come and be reminded and taught and encouraged and inspired to feel him, to experience him, to commune with him everywhere else. Sunday should affect the rest of your week in a big, big, noticeable, dramatic way. I experience God on Sundays. I always do. I always feel His heartbeat. I always feel His presence. I always feel His closeness. I feel Him smiling on us, rejoicing with us. I feel Him when we're having conversations before and after church about what's good and what's not. I feel God on Sundays, but I also felt God at the summer social when Gail's leading line dancing and I'm drinking mocktails, fake bar drinks that are just juice and Sprite. I felt God at trivia night because the host was really good. I'm choking. I felt God because we're laughing and we're together and it's beautiful and it's sacred time. It's just glorious. And we're talking about nonsense. It doesn't matter. I know my prediction is I'm going to feel God under a pavilion eating sandwiches with you guys. And I'm definitely going to feel God baptizing three beautiful, wonderful people today. I felt God every step of the summer with you guys. But outside of what we do as a church, I feel God, I experience God when I make my niece and my nephew smile. That's a sacred time, and I know that God is with us in those moments. I feel God so much when my family gets together and celebrates anything and everything. Birthdays, holidays, who cares? We'll get together and do a cookout for Groundhog's Day. It doesn't matter. I feel God in those moments. I feel God sitting across the table from you, friends and family at family church. Sitting across, my wife and I have done Wednesday night dinners the last couple months, and just sitting across, hearing people's stories and their heartbreak and their successes and their fears and their dreams and all that. I feel God so much in all of that. You never bother me. If you're going through something like, man, I want to talk to Chris, but I want to bug him. I drink those moments in. They are the best. I'm with you. I want to be with you. This is why I do this. This is what I do. I love it. I feel God in those moments so much. I feel God watching my daughter Berkeley reach out to God through the choppy waters that are inevitable in this stage of life that she's in. She knows she's loved and that He's home base for her, and that makes my heart soar. I love it. I feel God in those moments. I felt God while we're having one of those moments, talking through some stuff, Berkeley and I look to the backyard, and I've made no secret, I am Dr. Doolittle, and every animal in Chattanooga has visited me 2-3 times. I look in the backyard, Berkeley and I were talking, and there's this deer. A doe, a deer, a female deer. Laying down in my backyard. Fully at rest. And just, I'm in my kind of my sliding back glass door. And she's just looking at me like, what you doing? Like, I see you. And she's like, I know. Just chilling out. There's something calming about watching a deer just relax in your backyard. I felt God in that moment. I've got a picture I want to show you. This is my gorgeous wife, Sonia. This year, I've not been to a church conference in 12, 13 years. And we went to one. And it was great. This was a good one. Some of my favorite speakers and authors were there. It was in West Palm Beach, Florida. And this particular conference gave a lot of downtime because they understand you're in West Palm Beach, Florida. You want to actually go see West Palm Beach, Florida, and not just be stuck in a sanctuary the whole time. So we found some great restaurants, and this was my favorite. This beautiful restaurant that was right on the water. And at this moment, we were eating a fantastic meal. And this guy was playing acoustic guitar, and he was singing, "Should I Stay or Should I Go Now?" by The Clash, acoustic. Who does that? And in that moment, I'm looking at my dream girl. That is a miracle that she would be sitting across the table from me for the last 25 years. And all I can think of is, it doesn't get any better than this. It's that moment where you just kind of, you get a little peek of heaven, where heaven intersects earth, and you're like, I feel God so much right here. And then they brought the check. What I'm learning more and more and more is how to sit in a moment and just feel it. To just let myself feel what I'm feeling in the moment. I'm a solution-minded person. I am a problem solver. I tend to rush through things and past things. I am extremely impatient. But I'm learning to slow down. Even stop. And sit with things and intentionally feel them. To feel my sadness, my joy, my disappointment, feel the pleasure that God takes with me, to feel God enjoying me. It's a new feeling for me. God meets us there. He meets us right where we are, right as we are. And in those moments, we get better acquainted with him. We're becoming closer friends every single day. Just as we lean into our feelings, lean into our moments, just lean into life. Don't try to rush past it. God's got a big picture. I got to get there. God's not in a hurry. Never is. You never see God in a hurry. In fact, I think one of the biggest complaints about God is that he's not. One time in the Bible, I see God in a hurry. Just one. And it's in the prodigal son story. Where he runs back. He just runs as soon as he sees his son to greet him. But what you see is the patience and the long suffering before that moment where he waited who knows how long before the kid came back. But the only time he's in a hurry is to show you grace. To show you love. But everything else, he's patient. And he's with you through all of it. We want to fast forward. We want to hit the fast forward, but I want it to start now. Let's go now. Let's go now. 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 Help. How about now? And God's like, hey, I'm teaching you something in the in-between times. I want you to know me, feel me, experience me. And this is when you lean in, when you're waiting for something else. There's a psalm, and we sang it today. And it has increased exponentially in value for me over the last several years. It has become a go-to for me. I have a hat with this on it. It's the only like Christian branded things other than our church shirts that I wear ever. But it's Psalm 46:10, and it just says, be still and know that I'm God. That know that I'm God, is not intellectual. God is not figure-outable. You can forget about figuring out God. Forget about it. It ain't going to happen. Your brain can't wrap around who can fathom, who can understand, who can plumb the depths, who has the... You can't get a bead on how big and how amazing, how glorious, how perfect he is. But it's a different type of knowing. It's getting to know, feeling close to, experiencing, encountering. It's not factual, it's not intellectual knowing, it's experiencing, it's closeness, it's connecting. It's having a personal encounter with. So here's the sequence of events. Be still, another translation says, cease striving. I'll put another word to it. Stop. The word stop is important to me. It's in my name. Some people go by Chris. Some people pull off Topher. I think I'm thinking about just going with stop. I think that's good. Stop. Cease striving. Be still. Stop what you're doing. Put it down. Drop it. Walk away. Step away. Sit down. Relax. Put your feet up. Stay here. Embrace the moment. Lean into it. And just know He's God. He's got you. Stop what you're doing. Be still. Experience. Feel Him. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever's going on, He's there. He's encouraging you. Know He's there. Understand He's there. Realize He's there. Feel that He's there. That He loves you. He's got you. He's not going to walk away from you. He's not going to leave you. Chris, I don't get the goosies. Goosies are going to be there or not. I've been married with my wife 25 years. It's not like it was year one. It's better. I scored some points there. It's not the same. If you chase the feeling, that's when you miss it. The richness and the value and the importance and the significance is so much higher. The butterflies are different. They're like aged moths now, but I still get the goosies when I see my wife. We'll be here cleaning the space and she'll be mopping something. I'm like, dang, girl. This is a weird thing to say, but I say it. But it's different. Feelings are going to come and go, ebb and flow. That's not what we're chasing. What we're chasing is the reality that God loves you and He holds you close and He's not going to leave you. And that is amazing. And it'll change you. It'll change what you're doing. It'll change your job. It'll change your family life. It'll change everything if you let it. It just really takes sitting still, being still. No hoops. Just stop running by these gifts that are moments that He is with you. The Bible says, Jesus said, Sermon on the Mount. Listen, tomorrow's going to fend for itself. Don't worry about tomorrow. You got right now. Just be present. Let God love you, restore you, carry you, hold you now. I want to close with one more psalm. The psalms, there's a lot of them that are written by King David. A lot of them are not. He wrote more than half of them. But he wrote this one. This is Psalm 139. If you ever wonder if feelings, and I know some traditions, some denominations will really trivialize, reduce, even scandalize feelings, that feelings are naughty, you shouldn't feel feelings. If you ever wonder, are feelings legitimate in God's eyes? Consider this, the longest book of the Bible is entirely dedicated to our feelings about life, about God, about heartbreak, about fear, about loss. The book of Psalms, 150 chapters, this is nothing but feelings, nothing more than feelings. Feeling everything. Eugene Peterson said this, I think we got the quote, who wrote the Message translation of the Bible, brilliant man. He said this, everything that a person can possibly feel, experience, and say is brought into expression before God in the Psalms. So are feelings legitimate? He gave them to you for a reason. He wants you to feel your feelings. He wants you to have them. They're a gift. So speaking of that, I want to read this. This is King David. I'm going to read Psalm 139, just 7 through 12, verses 7 through 12. And then we're going to close and pray and all that good stuff. He says this, I can never escape your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day, and darkness and light are the same to you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, sometimes we're up and sometimes we're getting up. Sometimes life has got us in an arm bar and it hurts. Sometimes we feel like everything is going exactly as it should and things are right as rain. You look across the table and you say, life doesn't get better than this. But not every day is like that. There's lots of in-between days. There's lots of mundane days that just are days. But I want to encourage you. If God is everywhere, then he can be felt and found anywhere. Be still. Lean in. Take time. Feel his love for you, his grace for you, the fact that he uniquely created you just to love you, just so that you and him could be together. That's why he made you. Not to be a cog in the wheel, not to be an employee for God Enterprises. He made you because he wanted you to love. And he does. More than anything you could ever imagine. And God's everywhere. And because God's everywhere, he can be felt and found anywhere.